Hello, everybody. Welcome to Row 60, a Georgia football podcast. My name is Clark Gaines. Joining me today, as always, Adam Thornton.
Boom! Woo! How about them dogs, buddy?
And this is show number 128. Folks, if we sound different right now, there is a reason to that. We are on our way to Walt Disney World. We're headed to Orlando, Florida. We just beat the Florida Gators 24-20. And Adam, you just said this. I like it. It's Row 60 on the road.
Row 60 on the road. Going down I-4 right now, Clark. You're doing a great job of driving and, commentating the podcast as well. So this is cool. This is a cool experience. Going to meet our families at Disney World for some more fun after watching Georgia beat Florida. And, great day in Jacksonville, man. Very exciting to win down there, 5 in a row. You can't beat it. Never gets old. No matter how you win the game, it is always good to beat Florida, especially when you just break their hearts like Georgia did. Resilient football team. Said it all year. I'm fired up to talk about it. Great, great time. And, wore us out for sure.
For sure. Yes, very unorthodox podcast here. We have zero notes. We have not even watched highlights of the game, which is kind of crazy. I would say we're not going in this cold necessarily because we just got done watching the game in person. So we'll kind of give you the same sort of stuff normally that we would.
It's Row 60 Raw, baby.
Yeah, Row 60 Raw. That's another way of putting it. This is just our, going to be a very casual episode. Nothing too crazy, nothing too formal at all. So, Adam, let's start with our trip. Once again, we are headed to Walt Disney World right now. This is the last time in Jacksonville, as we know it, as Georgia fans, Georgia-Florida game, with that stadium and everything. Tell me about, leading up to the game. What did you guys get into at Amelia? Tell the people, share that experience.
Yeah, man, it was great. We drove down to Amelia Island on Thursday. We've stayed there 24 straight years, I believe, something like that. I think we might have threw in Ponte Vedra Beach one of those years, maybe Jekyll one of those years. But, 22 out of the 24, so we're at Amelia Island. And a lot of memories there from my childhood for this game weekend and also, seeing my child be able to go there the past few years, man, and just family and friends. It's been great. We do the same thing every day. Go to eat at the same restaurants, the same routine, and that's how I like doing vacations and trips. I love just reliving doing what I've done for years and have good memories doing. So this trip was no different. It was great. It was a blessing to be able to go eat at Salt Life, eat it down under, get some good seafood. A little bit blustery out, Clark. The beach was a little bit blustery. So we didn't get to spend as much time getting my daughter, Callie, who's 3 years old, a lot of beach time because it would have definitely kind of caused some sickness, I believe. But we did build a sandcastle, do some of that, spend some good family time, man. So, yeah, try to just take in every second of it, knowing that we won't have that experience for another, 3 years, right? Since 2028, something that we've gotten used to doing annually and won't get to do it again since 2028. So it was a blessed time up at Amelia Island, man. Enjoyed it, soaked in every second of it.
Yeah. I tell you, man, it's one of those games that I think every Georgia fan ought to experience in their lifetime. And, if you didn't have an opportunity to see that game in what we still call the Gator Bowl, that's okay. I mean, Georgia will play Florida in the future, obviously. It might look a little bit different, but that's when, we kind of make new traditions. And really, other than the stadium changing, nothing else is changing, right?
No.
So, I think all of these Georgia fans, especially South Georgia people, they love going to this game. You don't lose out on a ton of tradition. Just really, once again, all that's really changing is the stadium itself. But as I was walking out tonight, thankfully I've been blessed to have seen a lot more Georgia wins and losses in the Gator Bowl. Adam, you've seen a lot of Georgia losses down there.
Right.
Back in the early 2000s and whatnot.
Yeah.
But how did tonight rank in terms of just sweetness, right? On a scale of 0 to 10 being a national championship and 0 being, we get beat. Like, where does it rank that game tonight?
Oh, man, you got to put it up there as like a obviously an 8.
Okay, so.
And people will probably think, oh, well, we didn't play as well. The secondary got scorched, man. They were in it about the whole game. They could have won there, all that stuff. No. The way I'm going to look at it, man, is that's the last time we'll play in that particular Everbank Field You know, next time it's going to probably have a roof over it and everything. Look like these modern NFL stadiums. So what it's looked like since roughly, I guess they renovated it when they played in Athens and Gainesville, 94, 95, when the Jaguars came to town. So this is around 1996. So going on 30 years now, that's what that stadium has been like. And that's the memories I grew up with, knowing what it looked like. So that was the end of that. So to win the last one there, and to win five in a row, as a young kid, I didn't live through the 80s. And, of course, in the 90s and in the early 2000s, you never thought that. That was a pipe dream, and Georgia went five in a row with Jackson.
Yeah.
So to be able to cap that off and get that fifth win in a row down there, huge, man.
Absolutely.
Huge, you know, and Kirby, what, now is 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. This was his fifth or 10th game against Florida.
Yeah.
Hard to believe, man, but 8-2 record.
It's pretty good.
So, completely switched. The tides just switched. Completely just flipped down there, man. And something that's Georgia fans around 2015 never thought we'd see happen with this streak. So, to me, it's the biggest rival that Georgia has is the University of Florida. It's the biggest game you got to win every year to me.
Yeah.
Is you got to win the cocktail party. So winning that is huge. No matter how you win it, no matter how ugly it was, you win it. And, you know, when you leave Jacksonville with only one loss in contention for everything, all your goals set out in front of you, it's a success. So
yeah,
that's where we're at again, and we've gotten accustomed to that.
Yeah. So it's, you know, coming out of the stadium too, we were joking about normally we used to, back in the day, smoke cigars after – a big Georgia-Florida victory.
Yep.
And it's kind of crazy. Nowadays, you kind of skip that because I think – I'm not saying it's lost its meaning beating Florida, but it's kind of become a normal thing.
Right. You kind of expect it.
You kind of expect it. It's not as big of an event.
Right. You don't take it for granted by any means.
Right.
But you've come to expect Georgia's going to win.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So it's not like, for instance, 2007 was a game you really didn't expect Georgia to win against
right.
Florida. But you did, and you celebrated – your tail off after that game, man. You smoked a cigar. And I didn't at the time because I wasn't of age to smoke a cigar. But still, nonetheless, everybody else who could did. And that's kind of one of those games where you didn't expect to win, but you won it anyway. But
yeah.
Now you get where Kirby has got this program. You go into that game, and rival game, anything can happen, but you expect to beat Florida.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it's definitely the mindset's changed down there. And in itself, that has been just amazing as a Georgia fan now, that your whole attitude going into the cocktail party is different in a sense of what your expectation is compared to 2008, yeah. 2009, right?
Good
and,
point.
Before then as well. So, it was good. I think it was fun, too, to see Florida fans get hope that they were going to pull off this win, right? Because a lot of them already counted off that Florida wasn't going to win the game.
Right.
I don't think they expected going in thinking that, oh, yeah, Florida, we're going to win this game. But as the game progressed and they kept, you know, stuff happened where they got good field positioning and some busted plays, got some explosive plays for a touchdown, had a turnover there, and hung around in the game till late in the fourth quarter, right? So they kind of got a little hope and got that hope just ripped away, man, by this resilient football team. That's what I love to see that.
Mm-hmm. And, absolutely.
Yeah, so this team's just got a lot of heart, man. I just love this football team. They just know how to win.
They know
how to win, and that's huge.
I agree. Well, let's shout out some people. We met a lot of different people today, and we said that we would shout them out. That's going to start becoming a thing we do, I think, on the show, is shout out people that we get to meet in person at these games. And we always say this, but man, it's so cool to meet fellow Georgia fans who listen to the podcast, who follow us on Instagram and support us, and we greatly appreciate everybody's support out there. Adam, you got a few names.
Let's shout
some people out here.
Yeah, Madison from Kent.
Yeah.
Got to meet her. She was walking around as we were walking around in the environment and everything, so great to meet Madison. Tyler from Athens, Clayton from Athens, and then Tyler from Fitzgerald, Georgia as well.
Yeah.
So, I think Tyler, he sat in front of us at the game. So, it was nice to meet them. And also, we got some new patrons, Clark.
That's right.
That have come on board. Jorge Chambliss from Macon and Josh Long from Augusta.
I love it.
That's a list of guys right there.
Jorge and Josh. Man, we got a lot of Augusta guys.
Oh, yeah. I love
that. Had like three new Augusta patrons in the past couple of weeks, which is awesome.
Hey, keep them coming.
Yeah,
keep
we appreciate
coming.
It.
Love that.
Jorge, we appreciate it as well, man. If you guys, I don't have my normal notes here, but if you guys want to join Patreon, it's just $5 a month. We put every penny back into the program to make more content for you guys. This yeah. week, our patrons, you guys, be on the lookout. We are making an extended cut vlog, right. So you guys will get to see more content. Pretty much all the shots that we get throughout the day, even the not-so-good ones in terms of,
yeah,
you know, the content, per se. But we're just going to show you the full picture, I guess, of our weekend.
That's right.
The bad, the ugly. So be on the lookout for that. And we thank you once again to all of our patrons for helping us, supporting us, and keeping the lights on at Rose 60. So
absolutely.
Greatly appreciate it. Love y'all. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
All right, Adam. Let's sort of get into the meat and potatoes of this. Well, first of all, I guess we should start by kind of talking about the game day atmosphere and the concession stands report right quick, get that out of the way. So, the atmosphere, once again, this was the last time in Jacksonville for the next 3 years or so. I thought the tailgate scene, per usual, it's just insane, right? I mean, the music, especially, I think this year I noticed it more so than other years. You cannot go anywhere without there just being music blaring.
Blaring.
And I know that's not a lot of people's scene, but, you know, if you're into, you know, big parties, big social gatherings with loud music,
right,
then my gosh, the tailgate party, no, excuse me, the cocktail party is a great scene for you. So, yeah, great atmosphere per usual. The weather was perfect. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it was absolutely a beautiful day, man. Not too hot, not too cold to me. So, couldn't have asked for a better day. The good Lord created just a beautiful day for us to be able to enjoy college football in Jacksonville. But, yeah, I mean, you're going back to it, man. The party scene definitely can be some rough places to go and be around, especially bringing kids around, too. But, I mean, I feel like it just gets crazier every year in the sense of just some sort of like, man, interesting, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, but I mean, it's been that like that for years and years, decades and decades, right? So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, I think the city of Jacksonville as a whole is honestly just losing its luster.
Yeah.
You know, every year you go down there, right, a little bit. So,
right.
But anyway, I mean, that's either near, here nor there about what we're talking about on this podcast. But yeah, so I mean, it's a wild scene. It's very unique.
I love the comment you made. You're talking about the Texas Oklahoma rivalry, right?
Yeah.
The Red River Shootout out in Dallas.
The State Fair. The
State Fair. Yeah, it's a much more friendly, family friendly environment.
I would think.
You would
I've
think.
Never been.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
You would think it's got to be.
Yeah, right?
Got to be, right? I mean, I'm sure there's some you know, foolishness going on at the State Fair
sure.
as well, and outside the confines of the State
yeah,
Fair.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can't imagine that some of the stuff that your eyes witness in Jacksonville, Florida, is replicated at the State Fair in Dallas, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's truly unique in itself what you see
mm-hmm.
from Florida and Georgia fans.
Right.
A lot of God's children that are out there.
Oh, yeah.
Just
well, I'll say this. You know, we've ventured out. You know, I like to meander and walk around and just kind of see everything. And today I saw a lot of Georgia and Florida fans, you know, tailgating together, interacting.
Good.
And yes, I mean, there is obviously that hate between the two teams, but it is good to see, you know, fellow Americans and
good manner.
People,
good
human
manner.
Beings,
right.
right, just out there having a good time and tailgating together. So that was, that's always a positive thing
that's
to
right.
see. You know, one last thing about the atmosphere, and then we'll kind of move on. It was funny seeing how many vendors there are who 100% don't have permits. They don't have any sort of, you know, I guess licensing to go out
product.
And sell their specific alcoholic beverages and products. I saw a guy selling like CBD oil on the side of the street.
Really?
Just really random stuff. And yeah, I mean, I went up to one of the vendors. I said, do you guys like have a permit? I'm just curious. Like I wasn't sitting there trying to rat them out or anything,
no.
but I was genuinely curious. And, you know, they're like, yeah, I mean, Jacksonville police, they said are very lax. They don't really care. Especially on game days about this kind of stuff, so
they got bigger fish to fry.
No, I'm sure.
On a cocktail party weekend.
Yeah,
right, so.
That's true. But yeah, I mean, awesome atmosphere. If you've never been to Georgia, Florida, we'll get it back in Jacksonville in 2028.
Man,
3 years from now,
who knows what the world will be like in 2028?
True.
We might be having hover cars going to the game.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? I mean,
right.
The possibilities are endless.
Yeah.
But yeah, got them in Atlanta, in the Peach State, playing Florida in the state of Georgia for the first time since 1995. That didn't go good that year. In 2026, we'll be playing for the first time since 95 in the state of Georgia.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that'll be cool, but it's not in Athens, in Atlanta. And then we will go to Tampa Bay and play them in 2027.
Right.
And then the Jaguars stadium will be, the construction of it will be complete in 2028.
Yep.
So, yeah. But it was a great last one there. Savored it. Just walked out of the stadium knowing we won't see it like that that we've grown so accustomed to again. But, you know, all the good things have to come to an end.
Right.
You see that a lot. The older you get in life, and you're blessed to, I guess, you know, and I've seen that a lot of areas of life. The older I get, like just stuff that I grew up just loving, man.
Mm-hmm.
Just loving. It changes, right?
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do about it, but just be thankful for the memories that you made or you have.
Right.
In the specific places or everything that, and it gets changed, and just keep a good attitude about the new thing coming in, but be thankful you got to experience what you did at the place they demolished. So yeah, that's kind of my
a lot of good and a lot of bad memories in that stadium, all in one.
A lot of good here recently, though.
That's the beauty of college football and these rivalries, for sure.
Yep.
All right, Adam, let's move on to some Georgia football talk itself.
Yeah, man.
Once again, guys, we do not have any notes. We have not rewatched the game. This is just coming straight from the dome, and
it's going to
be very interesting. But let's just, you know what? Let's forget the whole offense, defense, special teams. Let's just kind of mush it all into one talk about it.
Okay.
Adam, let's start. You start with something. Pick out something, and let's talk about it.
Somebody played their tail off tonight, Clark, who I thought at moments just looked very, very good. I think they absolutely stoned DJ Lagway a few times. Thumped him a few times.
Hmm.
C.J. Allen.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought C.J. Allen had a very impressive game. A guy, I think, who's kind of caught a little bit of flat. And, I mean, from us, a little bit, too, this year. But then there were times where he's looked very, very impressive.
Yeah.
Like we hoped he would in his junior season, where we've seen a lot of Georgia inside linebackers make that leap. And, obviously, a huge leader out there. Great guy. And great football game tonight. Laura, I thought C.J. Allen played great defensive player of the game.
Yeah, well, he was the leading tackler, I know that much. You don't have a stat line.
Let's look at that. You go ahead and continue with that. I'll try to pull up some of these stats right here.
Yeah, another defensive guy that I've been really high on, really ever since he got to Georgia, Jordan Hall. Of course, he goes down with an injury. It did not look good. We don't have any update as of right now about that situation, but I could only imagine that it's not good, which sucks. The kid just cannot stay healthy, and I hate it for him. He is, man, he's just such a talent on the field and a leader, too, honestly. And to lose a guy like him, you know, that stinks, but that's where you got to have guys like Elijah Griffin, Xavier McLeod come in, step up, you know, take over those snaps and fill that gap. But, I mean, that one hurts. And also losing K.J. Bolden early on. Well, I say early on, I guess it was second quarter. With a targeting call? That was crazy.
Yeah,
And how quickly they confirmed that it was targeting, that was wild to me. I thought, and once again, maybe they said something on the broadcast that we didn't hear, but it just did not look like targeting.
Well, I've gotten to the point, man, that I can't tell when it happens in your review, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's targeting, or what they're going to do, right? So
right.
I kind of think it just depends on what the definition of targeting is for the officiating crew and, of course, the people in the in Birmingham,
right?
Making that call. I don't know, because I thought that he didn't launch, right?
That was
my big thing. But who knows? I don't know. I can't talk about it intelligently enough now to know what's targeting and what's not targeting.
I do think the receiver was defenseless, right? He basically just caught the ball.
Yeah.
And then secondly, I think what got him was he did seem to lower his head, but even then, it's not like he launched into him. So I don't know. But regardless, I will say the good news, or not necessarily the good news, but the silver lining in that is that we will get him back from Mississippi State, because he's ejected for one full half. And so that half came obviously against Florida. So that's good.
That's the guy you got to have. That secondary, in a secondary that's not lived up to expectation this year, we'll go ahead and say it, that you got to have number four back there, though, being the captain, being the leader, especially with, I think, one of the most, if not the most vulnerable position, if you single one out on defense this year, is the safety spot opposite of K.J. Bolden, right? So Kyron Jones is missing playing time now for another game. He did not play, suit up. The guy who's been the starter since game one opposite of KJ. Ja'Cory Thomas came in there, I thought, was called in some bad positions.
Yeah.
Clark, and didn't have his best game. Then you have to bring Zion Branch in there for KJ when he got ejected. So, I mean, no Adrian Maddox. That was interesting. Thought we would at least see Maddox rotate in a series there or two. But, you know, Zion and Ja'Cory just must be ahead of him, right?
Yeah.
So, that was a guy I thought coming in the spring in the camp, that Adrian Maddox, we see a little bit more of him, especially when Kyron Jones getting injured. And that just has proved not to be the case. So,
yeah.
Don't know what the deal is there. You know, cornerback room getting a little bit thin. You get DeMelo Jones, who went down. You mentioned Jordan Hall earlier, that we don't have any information. We're just riding down the road after the game, a couple hours after the game now, of the extent of the injury, or looking like. But you can't afford to lose DeMelo Jones.
No.
I think it's safe to say right now, Daniel Harris after the Tennessee game. Rumors of where he was hurt. I think now it just seems like I think he's played 4 games. So if he, right now, he can just not play anymore. Red shirt, have another year and transfer out in December.
I think you've seen him dress out.
I think he's done.
MIA,
yeah,
totally.
I think he's done. So yeah. I think
wish him the best of luck, whatever he decides to do. But
yeah,
it is odd. Yeah, you're right, though. We're kind of thin in some areas defensively. And tell you, you know, we did what we had to do on defense. Florida did move the football on us a pretty good bit. You know, and I think we aided them in that. We didn't just totally dominate them or anything, but we didn't – I don't know. If I had to give our defense a grade just from what I remember of the game right now driving down the road, maybe a B, B minus.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, you know.
Decent.
Yeah, did some good things. I mean, but, of course, there's some times, man, where there's some inexcusable stuff that were big momentum boosters for Florida. I mean, you look at it right there. DJ Lagway. What I hate, man, is, and I think it's been a trend all year we've seen in some games, is busted coverage with receivers get behind the third level just streaking to the field, man.
It happened several times.
Man, that'll kill you. That'll kill you.
And that play or pass that was, thankfully, it was ruled incomplete there at the end of the game. I mean, that kid was wide open.
Right.
In the third level.
Right, right. I mean, you know, it's wild at the University of Georgia that the secondary play is, to this point, under Kirby Smart, you know, that's his baby. Especially, we know the defense is his baby, but especially the secondary, right? And a lot of people say, yeah, well, they're not getting the help from the pass rush that, you know, that you would like to see them get. But still, I just think when you have guys just streaking downfield, man,
mm-hmm.
getting behind the third level, it's at this point, it's just we don't have the talent, or they haven't been developed by the coaching staff enough to live up to the expectation of what we've grown accustomed to of secondary play here at the University of Georgia, right? So I hate to say it like that, but I feel like at this point the season, leaving Jacksonville, it is what it is.
Yeah, you just got to live with it.
You got to live with it, hopefully improve, and just see what happens, man.
Yeah.
But at this point it is. It's not just going to magically wave a magic wand, and all of a sudden it's just going to be an elite secondary. But, you know, stat day too, where I read that was sent by group message I'm in, didn't realize, you know, Georgia has more sacks this year at this point than they did in 2022.
That's crazy. But I do remember, I do very vividly remember us talking about the same thing. In 22, we can't get a pass rush.
Yeah.
We cannot get to the quarterback. We can't get home. Why do we not have enough sacks? Like, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's scheme. I don't know if it's – I don't think it's personnel. You cannot convince me that Georgia doesn't have the dudes on the edge to get to the quarterback. I don't believe that.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of a scheme.
I
in the sense
I do, too.
You know, I mean, you get your you know, but I think, too, with that type of scheme, you got to have some – elite level secondary player, right?
Yeah. Trying to think, what else on defense could we talk about? Any specific plays?
Trying to think.
Florida had.
Second and 20. Second and 20.
Gosh.
DJ Lagway, quarterback draw.
Beautiful play call.
Beautiful play call by the first or second time play caller that they have. You know, Billy Napier called plays for Florida.
Right.
So I think they're quarterback coach or offense coordinator. I don't know who was designed, who called plays this game for Florida. But, of course, he was not their primary play caller. That Billy Napier handled all that until he was dismissed a couple weeks ago. So, yeah, great play call by him. Caught our defense off guard. But one thing, too, man, that gets you is Terrell Foster is out there at inside linebacker at that point.
Yeah.
You know,
it was rough.
And, I mean, the kid probably has some great kid. And probably, you know, has some good times coming up maybe.
Yeah.
Jordan. But at that particular moment, might not have been the guy you needed inside linebacker right there.
True.
But also, man, I think we're behind up there. Did you realize Chris Cole left the game and missed the majority of the second half?
I was about to say, man, where is number nine? I remember saying that, you know, in the third quarter. I was like, where is number nine?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't something that where he was laying on the field there and we saw him, like, limp off, get injured.
Right.
I didn't, at least. You know,
I didn't either.
Just, but so that's a guy you can't afford to lose right there. So, yeah, I mean, it's I don't know. I don't know, man. But I felt like Florida was moving the ball on the ground good there at the end as well. But still, nonetheless, well, how many rushing yards does Florida have total?
Let me look that up. I will say, you know, going in the third quarter, we all thought, Kirby's going to make some halftime adjustments defensively. He always does. And, yes, there were some made. But I got a little worried there when Florida started running the football on us effectively. When teams start to run the football on Georgia, that's when I start to get kind of nervous. Everybody except Alabama. Alabama obviously tore us up through the air this year. But Florida, man, they came out third quarter. They ran the football pretty good.
115 total rushing yards.
Yeah, I mean, so that's for our standards, that's not great, right? I mean, we're only allowing something like 85 up to this game.
281 total yards.
For Florida?
Yeah.
I mean, you look at that. Man, okay, let's back up, though. How good is this Florida offense? Some would argue totally awful, terrible, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, man, we said this last week. This Florida team was a wild card kind of a team just because you get rid of your head coach. You kind of – in midseason, too. This wasn't just like all season stuff. Midseason, you get rid of your head coach right before the bye week. This new coaching staff or interim coaching staff, there's a lot of things that they probably drew up that Georgia never seen on film.
Oh, right?
That Billy Napier never just showed on film the previous seven games or whatever. So, I mean, look, Georgia's defense played obviously well enough to win. Holding any team to 20 points, I'm happy with that every single day of the week, especially with how your offense has been playing this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was good, though.
I mean, yeah, and then you look at this stat real quick, too, Clark. Third down efficiency, that's been a number that we've seen where we haven't done well with at times this year. But Florida was 2-for-11 on third down. So you got off the field on third down.
That's awesome.
They were 0-for-2 on fourth down.
That's awesome. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that's big. That's big. They had 5 yards per play. Florida did 16 first downs. So, yeah, and of course, Georgia forced zero turnovers, and Florida's time of possession was 27 minutes, 35 seconds.
Interesting. Okay. Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, going back to what you said, though, about, you know, new wrinkles and stuff, and what we talked about on the podcast, we talked about it just us chatting, talking with other Georgia fans. Like, you felt like it was either going to be one way or the other, that they were going to just lay down, quit, be done for the year, check out. Some people thinking about their health. Some players thinking about transfer portal and future NIL deals, or they were going to buy in to the new interim guy that they had, or each other, and have some pride about them, man, and be like, we're going to keep fighting.
Right.
Finish this thing right, boy, right? And to their credit, that's what they did.
They did.
That's what they did. They had that the change in the past 2 weeks that they've had, I feel like, gave them a little bit of a jolt and gave George all they wanted. And of course, Georgia has some self-inflicted stuff on both sides of the football.
Yeah, man. Like, and but God, did it not seem like there were so many penalties tonight on Georgia?
Yeah.
And look, I'm not one to sit here and claim that refs cost games necessarily. But man, I mean, there were just some rough calls tonight, bad calls. Some calls just didn't make sense. Not even necessarily penalties. Just it's crazy.
7 penalties for 65 yards.
Okay. Man, I was thinking it was double digits, but I guess it's not that bad.
Yeah, Florida had 5 for 50.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
Interesting. Yeah, no turnovers, man. We almost had one with one of our safeties, I think. I can't remember if it was KJ. Somebody sort of towards the beginning.
Ellis Robinson.
Oh, man, that was, yeah.
So, I mean, you were happy that obviously we stopped him on fourth down right there. But you're like, man, Ellis.
How sweet would that have been?
That would have been great. It was almost a pick six right there.
To ice the game. Are you kidding?
Yeah, ice the game. But, I mean, the defense, they stepped up when they had to.
They did. They did.
Of course. I mean, definitely concerning. You hate seeing explosive play. That's what I hate. That I would almost rather get the ball moved on you and team score with just death by a thousand cuts.
Right.
Deal, right?
Right.
They just dink and dime down the field. And do what they have to do to get in the end zone. But when it's just a dagger, just an explosive play like that because they get behind the third level.
Yeah.
Too many times that happened tonight. And we've seen that happen this season a good bit. And,
yeah,
I guess that's just what it's going to be. And every game from here on out is going to be a
dogfight.
A dogfight. Yep. No matter who it is, right? Besides Charlotte. All right, so
I hope
besides Charlotte. That's right. So,
God, that'd be terrible.
I don't know, man. Should have known. We should have seen this coming. I predicted. I thought Georgia would come out and win, you know, like 35-20, something like that. Maybe pull away by about a couple touchdowns, whatnot. That didn't happen. There's only been one time, Clark, I feel like, in my recollection of every Georgia win I've seen in my lifetime, that Georgia has really dominated the game from the beginning to the end.
17.
And that was 2017.
Yeah.
And every Georgia win since then, the Kirby era or the Mark Richt era, has been a very close game.
You're telling me 2015 wasn't close?
2015?
With Patton Bauta. Oh, boy. That game. Woof.
Talking about the Georgia wins. Yeah.
No, but, I agree.
Course, but yeah, 2007, and I was wishing, I was kind of deep down, I was like, man, I just wish this would be like 17 again, just get on, jump on there. Then, you know, you drive down, great first drive on offense,
oh,
7-0.
All right, so we're switching gears to offense, right?
I mean, is there anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah, no, I think we
– I kind of think everything is what it is right there. You hope Chris Cole's going to be okay, Jordan Hall, and DeMello Jones, man, three guys right there you really need to have healthy. Obviously, we don't know at this point in time, at 10:26 on Saturday night. But it's going to be interesting to see what where it goes. But anyway, yeah, I'm ready for
it. Okay. Offensively, Adam, give us a number. How many total yards do we have?
Okay, it's total
280
yards.
Something, too,
I think
right?
It's 380 something.
380 something, okay.
It's 361, excuse me.
Oh, wow, all right.
223 yards to the air, 138 on the ground, Clark.
Interesting.
5.3 yards per play, 21 first downs, 7-15 on third down efficiency.
Not bad. I mean, a little less than 500, but we'll take that. Let's start with the first drive. Opening drive, man. Some would call that the script. If we were Florida fans, we would be saying, oh, that's just Mike Bobo's script, whatever. And, man, I'm telling you, we stalled out after that first drive, did we not?
Yeah, I mean, that's funny. It's kind of reverse if you see that happening to a lot of Georgia's opponents since 2023.
Yeah.
Right, and then they come drive down the field. Georgia's defense settle in a little bit, right? And but that's what happened this time. Georgia's offense, since they're flying down the field. Oh, here we go. To me, early on, I felt like we were running the ball better than I expected on that defensive front. Florida's got a dang good defensive front. Our line, offensive line, got bullied majority of the night, I would say. Call it like it is. I think we got beat up front a lot by their defensive line. But still, nonetheless, Georgia did what they had to do to win the football game, move the ball at the right times. But I felt like at the beginning of the game, man, I think we had 78 yards rushing the first half.
Man, yeah. Sounds right.
So, I thought that, you know, our run blocking on the O-line was a whole lot better than I expected there at the beginning, but our pass pro just wasn't there. We're getting mauled. I think we gave up two sacks tonight is what the number was. So
Gunner was moving out of the pocket a lot, looking downfield. There were a few, but I would say, you know, I mean, every quarterback, I don't expect Gunner to go out there and go 100% through the air, but – man, he missed on some that were just daggers. There was one specifically too. Was it Oscar or Lawson? That wheel route kind of a thing?
That was Oscar.
Oh,
that was
my Oscar, gosh, dude.
Yeah, you hit him in the
wide open. Yeah, numbers in his six right there. And that changes the complexion. Yeah, complexion of the game.
It does.
Didn't get it, but I will say, man, beautiful ball to Noah Thomas there early in the game, and that is why you run those screens, man, over and over and over and over, and you finally sell that route where, you know, you have Noah Thomas, you know, blocking, quote-unquote, for Zachariah Branch on the edge, and you fake the stalk block, you release, and he was wide open. Beautiful right. touchdown right there. Beautiful call. And right. once again, that doesn't happen unless you run screens over and over and over and over.
Yeah, so. I agree. That was a good call to get seven right there. I felt like Gunnar Stockton's interception was not on him. No Thompson caught the football there, but unfortunately, it just happens in football sometimes. And probably maybe not Gunnar's best game, but he still did enough when he needed to win. Of course, that's just the theme of the night right now. Is this team just finds a way to win football games. That's right. It's just in their DNA to win. And that's what's got to get you excited as a fan.
100%.
No, it's not going to be pretty. Not the wins you want to see right now is what we're seeing and been the trend this year. But beating Auburn, beating Florida, beating Tennessee, man, and the ways that we have. Beating Ole Miss, top 10 Ole Miss team, top 5 Ole Miss team in Athens like that, man, is great. It's huge. And everything's still out in front of you. So, offense, I still have a lot of faith in them, and I really feel like today maybe the lack of production there until the end of the game is, I thought, was a lot still execution, Clark.
Yeah.
It's not being able to block in some scenarios, and like you said, the wheel route to Oscar missed, and I felt like there was a lot of plays that were there that we just weren't able to connect on, have those days sometime. But, you know, if Gunnar doesn't kneel the ball at the one, you still put up 31 points against a respectable Florida defense, right? I mean, Texas A&M, the hottest name in college football right now, I would say, is what? They scored 31, 34 points against Florida at home in College Station, right? So, Florida's defense has been pretty good all year, I feel like, but definitely a defensive line that's very good, and our offensive line struggled against just like it did against Auburn's defensive front. So,
Can you give me Gunner's stat line? Can you find that?
I could easily find that.
Also, Zachariah Branch, man. All right, keep saying this over and over and over, and rightfully so. Zachariah Branch was worth every single penny it took to bring him to Athens.
Let me say this first.
He is so freaking clutch.
Zachariah Branch, 10 receptions, 112 yards, 11.2 yards per, you know, catch.
Reception. Wait a second. 10 catches. 10 receptions. Man. There's not been many Georgia guys under Kirby Smart, at least, who have gotten double digits interceptions.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, like, I think George Pickens in the Sugar Bowl back in 2019, he had something like, I don't know.
Yeah.
He had a good many, but,
three, four, five, six, seven.
Can't think of any other.
So, I want to say there were 7 different guys who touched the football tonight.
Received?
Received.
It.
Yep. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 11 guys targeted total.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's a great point there, Clark. And Dylan Bell had 4 receptions for 43 yards. So, he averaged 10 yards a reception.
Yeah. Sneaky good.
Yeah, man. And a lot of Zach Prince's receiving yards after catch.
Right? Yeah,
obviously, because of the screen. So, the yak, he eats up the yak. So, I agree with that, man. A very impressive game by him. Gunner stat line, 20 for 29, 223 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception.
Really not that bad of a game. If you look at it from that angle, tell me about the leading rusher. It had to have been Chauncey, right?
Oh, yeah. Chauncey Bowens, 9 carries, 70 yards. Nate Frazier, 12 carries, 45 yards. Wait, Gunnar Stockton, 13 carries, 11 yards on the ground. So, Chauncey Bowen, 70 yards. Really didn't see him until later on.
Yeah.
And he's continued to impress. Yeah. 7.8 yards per carry.
He didn't have a huge, like, first half or anything, but, my gosh, he made it count later in the game for sure with that big run, that touchdown. Oh, that was so sweet. We were at an angle where I wouldn't say you could just, like, totally see the hole open up or anything, but, you know, when he broke through that first level – and made it to that second level, we saw the blocks on our side of the field in our view, and it just looked beautiful from there on. Yeah. And, man, he galloped into the end zone. That was such a sweet touchdown. almost reminded me a little bit of old DeAndre Swift going that same sideline in, what was it, 18, 17, something like that. Anyway.
It was a been fun to watch Chauncey Smith. 33 runs hard every time he touches the football. And just hope to keep him healthy for the home stretch. He's been banged up a little bit.
Yeah.
From what you hear. But, he stepped up in a big way to not only that touchdown run, but to ice the game, right?
Oh, yeah.
On getting that third one. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that him to touch the ball there?
It had to be. Right. Tell you another one. Elias Williams early in the game, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Elias Williams, man.
He had a big reception. Yeah, that's right. At the beginning of the game.
Big reception.
I'm wondering if we're going to start using him a little bit more in the passing attack. That'd be great. I think he's a great tight end.
Yeah, you can split him out wide as well. Kind of maybe also a bigger body receiver.
Yep.
Good talent there.
Yeah.
About 10 miles.
I think one last note. We're getting close to Disney World, y'all. We're going to have to start wrapping this one up. But, yeah, I think one last thing about offense. You know, Colby Young obviously going down against Ole Miss sucks, right? And I think a lot of Georgia fans will not necessarily remember him for his receiving this year, like his route running and catching ability, whatnot. But I think an area where we're going to have to pick up some slack is in the run blocking on the perimeter. He was such a good run blocker out on the edge, and being able to stalk block, that's huge. Crack blocking, that's huge too. So we got to get Noah Thomas up to speed. I like Noah Thomas, and I think he's been a great addition, and we're going to see him even more this back half of the season.
Right.
But we need him to step up, and others in run blocking. It's been spotty. I'd say mostly good this year, actually.
Right.
Much improved from last year, in my opinion, but, got to continue to improve that. And we've been saying it over and over and over.
Yeah.
Get healthy, get hot. And I think, Adam, we're going to start seeing that within the next few months, right before Georgia hopefully makes it to this playoff game.
I love it, man. Yeah. I think you hit the nail on the head there, Clark. You're going to miss Colby in a lot of different areas in that receiving room, but not one a lot of people talking about. It's perimeter blocking as well.
Yeah.
So, like you mentioned there, still going to have some tough games. Texas at home, on the road, start for next week's going to be huge. Yeah. Tech in Atlanta. And I think each one of them is going to be close. But this team has developed an identity that they're resilient. They face adversity really well. And they just know how to win. And when you have that type of group, man, that's something you can't teach.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something that is instilled in a culture and a program. And you win football games that way. And in some games that you have no business winning. We've seen that happen. And so that's special when you have it. And excited to see where the rest of the season takes this football team.
Yep. They're the don't die dogs.
They're not. And just hopefully get some guys that injured, banged up a little bit, get them back. Hopefully some of the guys we lost tonight in Jacksonville aren't as serious. We hope, but we will.
Oops.
What? Easy now, Clark. Man. About rearing old Kia right here in downtown Orlando. Dang it, boy.
Yeah, we're good.
Watch out now.
We're all right.
I was stuttering through that because I couldn't focus because, we were fastly approaching the rear end of that Kia right there. I didn't think you were going to put on the brakes. It's all right.
We're good.
All right, then.
Not to scare anybody.
We're good.
Well, folks, that might be a good way to wrap this thing up.
What a time this was.
Yeah. By the way, just for the record,
our ADHD minds just bouncing everywhere trying to do a podcast and also drive and look at the sights and sounds of downtown Orlando right now.
Yeah, for the record, we did this completely hands-free. Don't worry.
Good point.
We did record this. I mean, for the people who are just listening to the podcast itself on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever. God, this person's about to hit me on this side.
Easy now.
He's drifting over into my lane. Anyway, we did record this, so if you're interested in what this setup looked like, you need to go to YouTube. And while you're there, go ahead and subscribe. And, don't miss another one of our videos. We got more coming your way this season.
That's right.
We hope you guys have enjoyed this episode. Great win against the Florida Gators. Always love beating Florida. Adam, wrap this thing up.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all hanging with us, man. I know this episode was wild, but we we wanted to at least pump one out in some way, so it was definitely one where we didn't get to prepare any notes, just kind of talk about some things. I'm sure we missed some stuff that wish we would have talked about. You're screaming at us, but hopefully, you know, we can talk about that. If you message us if there's something else you want to talk about that we didn't cover on this one, man. But I don't know. I just don't have a lot to say about that game, Clark. The fact that I'm thankful for a Georgia win. Always get one down there. 5 in a row down there. Big game at noon against Mississippi State in Starkville next week. Mm. Everything that this Georgia football team wants to accomplish is ahead of them. SEC championship picture. Georgia's still in the thick of it. But does not control their own destiny. But, hey, you know, really good position for a playoff. I think they do control their own destiny, of course, for a playoff spot. Just win out and you're in. So that's a blessing. And what, 4 more games, Clark?
Four more
games to win. Finish this regular season 11-1 and see what happens in the postseason. Always great to be at this point of the year and still everything be in front of you that you want to accomplish. That's what we've grown accustomed to. That's now the standard in Athens, Georgia. How about them Georgia Bulldogs? 5 straight over the Florida Gators. Always good. Celebrate it. Enjoy it. We'll be back later this week or next week. Sometime we'll be back. Love y'all. Go Dogs!
Go Dogs!